Bibles and turn to John chapter number 19 this morning. And I got a lot to preach in a short amount of time. Is that a thumbs up? Y'all, my eyesight's gone. Jump up and down, Jenny. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. You're fine. All right. But anyhow, Jenny's got some stuff. We're going to try to do some. And Jenny, I don't know how much. Like I said, we're cramped on time because Jake sang too long. But anyhow, we'll try to do what we can do this morning. I want you to be in John chapter number 19. And man, this is an exciting time of the year. I don't know about you. I don't like Christmas because, and I've told y'all this before, my birthday is Christmas. And it tends to be one of them things where you get, $5 and they say this is for your birthday and Christmas. I need somebody to help me right here. I'm bitter about it. I am. And my sister, her birthday was on September the 28th. Actually, the day that I got saved was my sister's birthday. Anyhow, she gets all kind of presents and got all these big Christmas or these parties and everything else. Well, I was a Christmas baby. So I got Christmas, and then I got a pair of jeans for my birthday. Y'all help me. Then, you can really tell how much you're loved by your family on days like this. Because at Christmas time, I had to have the same amount of presents that she did. So she got one more Christmas. Is everybody all right? I'll get back to the sermon, but right now we're going to work out this bitterness. So we all got eight, nine presents, which was probably eight or nine too many. But anyhow, we get these presents, and I had to have the same amount as her because we couldn't make it unfair. Then on September the 28th, I had to be at her, come on, help me, y'all. 8 years younger than me, and I had to be there for her birthday party. Pink and purple and all this other stuff. When you're trying to come into your man, my life was horrible. It was miserable. But as I've gotten older, I appreciate Christmas. Matter of fact, I love it. Around my house, you come to my house, you're going to be watching Christmas movies. And I had somebody tell me, he said, man, you ought to turn in your man card. Come take it from me. I like everybody, come on, take it from me. We like to watch them around our house. Matter of fact, we like to sit around, watch Christmas movies, and we'll do Christmas things. I just enjoy this time of year. And we pretend like it's snowing outside. Come on, help me, y'all. Right? You close all the blinds, turn the air conditioner on, and just got the fireplace going. I need somebody to help me. A fireplace in Lake Park. Who needs it? But it's an exciting time of the year. Exciting for the kids. Man, they're looking forward to what they're going to get under the tree at Christmas. All these things. But it really is, without Christ, we wouldn't even have Christmas. And I think we've gone so far in our manufacturing of Christmas and all the gifts and all this other stuff, and many times we forget the greatest gift. And you can go all through your Bible and learn about Christmas. Oh, I need somebody to help me. We celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ. You can go all through your Bible and read about the birth of Christ. You can find him all the way back in Genesis chapter number 3 in the garden with Adam and Eve. When God promised that through her seed, woman's seed, would come a Savior. We can go all the way through the Bible and we can see Jesus. The pictures, foreshadowing of the tabernacle. The foreshadowing of different things in the Exodus, the crossing of the Red Sea, all those things, the Passover. We can look all throughout the Bible and we see that it's all about, come on, help me, y'all, Christ. That's what Christmas is. Matter of fact, take Christmas and you take Christ out of it and we just got moss. Hey, I worked hard on that. I'm just kidding, I didn't. It actually just come to me. But seriously, without Christ, We don't even have a reason for the season. And it seems like it's cliche because we see it all the time, but the fact of the matter is, it's the truth. And so this morning, I want to talk about another aspect of Christ's life. We're going to get to his birth, but I want to take a look at this in John chapter number 19, if you'll let me this morning. And I entitled it, Behold the Man. I preached a sermon called Behold the Man before. So I had to entitle this one, Behold the Man 2018. But I want to read to you for a few verses this morning. And I want to get into this. I want to talk nothing about Christ this morning, if you'll allow me to do that. We sit here, we come in, we're probably looking for a holiday message. I'm going to give you the most holiday message you ever get. I'll give you the most Christmas message you're ever going to get if you'll listen this morning. I want you to read with me, if you will, in John chapter number 19. I'll begin my reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. I'll give you just a little bit of background just from the first verse before we go any further. I'll give you a little bit of background of what all has taken place in the last few hours. Jesus is taken in the garden. This was after he had ate the Last Supper with his disciples, after he had washed the feet of his disciples, including the one that would betray him. This is after he had gone to the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat, as it were, sweat drops of blood. This is where he was at when he cried out and said, Not my will, but thine be done. This is where he was when he says, If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. This is after he'd been taken in by the Roman soldiers. This is after he had gone through mock trials with the Jewish leaders, the rabbis, if you will, the religious leaders of the day, and how they had mocked him and beat him. He was also sent to Herod. Herod made a robe, a purple robe, a crown of thorns. All these things had already taken place before we get to chapter number 19 and in verse number 1. When we read that verse and we see that Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, all these things had happened prior to that. We're already dealing with a man that's been beaten. We're already dealing with a man that's falsely accused. We're dealing with a man who has already gone through a punishment of plucking hair out of his beard. All these things had taken place leading up to Pilate scourging him. Pilate scourged him for the intent and purpose of keeping him from being crucified. The fact of the matter was, the people were very harsh and they wanted Christ crucified and they asked for him to be crucified, but Pilate, he tried to appeal to their sympathy. And so he scourged Christ. Which, if you know anything about a scourging in a Roman Empire back during this time, it was done with a cat of nine tails, or what they called and referred to as a cat of nine tails, which was nothing more than a handle with some leather straps on it with bone and glass and stones in it. And they would take this and they would beat him with this and they would beat man with this and they would rip as they hit him, it would wrap around his body, dig in, and then they would rip the flesh loose. All this was done. Is everybody all right? For Christmas. All this was done so you and I can celebrate Christmas. It's not just about the birth. We celebrate the birth, but Jesus is so much more than just being born of a virgin. As we look at this, Pilate scourged him. And the Bible says, and let me say this because there's probably somebody that's trying to dispel the Bible. Let me just go ahead and say this. This was taken from manuscripts that are a lot older than you and I. I need somebody to help me. This is taken from manuscripts that's a lot older than a translation that you and I hold in our hands. That's only about 400 years old. This goes way back and it's been documented. It's been proven. It is not something we just make up. History says that a man called Christ died on a cross. You try to dispel it all you want to and say that the religious crowd is just crazy all you want to. But this has been documented long before it ever occurred. It was prophesied of. You can go back in Isaiah and there's prophecy. Go back in Psalms, there's prophecy. Go back in Genesis, there's prophecy. Go back in Exodus, there's prophecy. It's been talked about for a long time. Now it's coming to pass in John chapter number 19. Verse number 2, the Bible says, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, talking about the people. He took him out there beaten, bleeding, to the point of unrecognizable as a man. Stands him out in front of the people, hoping that their sympathy would kick in and they wouldn't have him kill him. Verse number 4, he says, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate said, I've examined him. I've done everything I've been asked to do, and I find no fault in this man. Verse number 5, then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. What's crazy about this whole thing, man, is we sit there and we think, we get tears in our eyes thinking about it and thinking about what Christ went through, and we say to ourselves, if I was there, I would have saved him. If I was there, I would have said, don't do it. But the fact of the matter is that if you read behind these verses, you'll find out that the crowd still said, crucify him. A man beaten, a man bloody, a man unrecognizable, and they still cried out, crucify. You know what's scary to think this morning? Is that you and I would have been in that crowd. You know what's scary to think this morning? That no matter how much affection we have for God, no matter how much affection we have for His Word, no matter how much affection and a love that we have for Christ, these people did not know, and they were being led by religious leaders to believe that this man was a lunatic and that he was trying to go against religion, and so they cried out, crucify him. The very one that came to save them. The very one that came to die for them. They cried out, crucify. As we look at this morning, I want you to see the man. I want to go through just real quickly, and I ain't got a whole lot of time. I'm going to try to do this as fast as I can. I hate rushing. But I do understand that there's a lot going on. My family's here. We're going to have Christmas today. We're going to spend some time with them, and I ain't been able to in a while. And I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm not going to keep you here any minute longer than I have to. But I want you to know something today. I want you to see Christ like you've never seen him before. I want you to erase all your thoughts of what he is, and I want you to see him for who he really is. I want you to erase all the doubt and all the things that people tell you to try to keep you away from church. I want you to dispel all that just for a few moments. And I want to open up some scripture, and I want to say this. He is amazing. He is our Savior. And today you can walk out of here having a personal relationship with him because he is alive. No matter how bleak this looks, no matter how bad chapter number 19 looks, there is a matter of fact proof that he rose from the grave. The Bible says that he was seen by the disciples and he was seen by 500 witnesses walking after the crucifixion. Now, I don't know about you, but it wouldn't take that many witnesses to convince me that something was real. So as we look at this morning, I want you to see the man. Behold the man. I want you to know, first off, he was a chosen man. He was a chosen man. John chapter number 1, we see his beginnings. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to know that he was with God before he was born. That in the beginning right there was not at his birth. That in the beginning right there was not at Bethlehem. That in the beginning right there was not with Mary. That in the beginning was long before Bethlehem. You go on, you see John chapter number 17 and verse number 24. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want you to know something, that Jesus in the beginning was the Word, was with God before creation ever took place. What are you saying, preacher? I want you to know that he was a chosen man before the foundations of the world. The Bible says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He had a purpose. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Before he was ever born, he had a purpose before ever was creation. Say, that's crazy. No, God knew how man was. God knew that you and I would fail him. And so he had already prepared our redemption. He was a chosen man. He was chosen before the creation of the world. And Adam, I don't know how long Adam made it, but if it was any of us, he didn't make it long. I need somebody to say amen. His wife ate of something and said, you gonna eat it too, boy? He said, all right, I'm good with it. Played out right here in our church this morning. I was gonna tell you what I got Miss Michelle for birthday. She said, no, you ain't. I said, okay. Did y'all see that? Y'all see how it works? It was her fault. God knew it. He knew as soon as he gave us a woman, it messes up. Somebody help me. He knew we'd do whatever she told us to do and quit listening to him. I need somebody to help me. Quit acting like y'all all tough and bad. Some of you cowered down. You do whatever she tells you to do. You still open her the door for her. That's right. That's how it's supposed to be. He was a chosen man. We see his beginnings. We see his birth. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Do you realize God didn't send a Sunday school teacher to die for you? God didn't send a friend to die for you? God didn't send your mom and daddy to die for you? But God sent himself to die for you. He didn't choose nobody else. I need somebody to help me right here. The Bible is interpreting this as God with us. The angel even told Mary, she said, he said, you're going to name him Jesus. We see he's a chosen man, his beginnings, his birth, his blamelessness. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only do we see he was a chosen man before the foundation of the earth, not only do we see his birth and that it was miraculous and how that he was born to save you and I, God sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for us, but we find out that he lived without sin. The Bible says, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you realize this morning that he did not deserve the cross? Do you realize this morning that he did not deserve that death? Do you realize this morning that he did not deserve that beating? It was mine and yours, and God died for us. We see a chosen man. We see a chosen man this morning. Not only that, but I want you to notice a compassionate man. I want you to notice that he was a compassionate man. The Bible tells us a little bit about his encounters. We learn about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, the Bible says, had 7 devils and he cast them out. Hey, listen, you won't even take part in somebody that's a drunk. You won't even have something to do with somebody that's homeless. You won't even talk to somebody that don't have the same social status as you. And yet Mary Magdalene had 7 devils. And a holy, righteous, oh, I need somebody to help me right here. We ain't talking about a sinful man like you and I. We're talking about a holy and a righteous God who still came to where she was at. And he still saved her. I think about Mary, that Mary in Luke chapter number 7, I believe it is, that came and washed his feet. The Bible says that she was a sinner. You go and you study that thing, and it means that she was a prostitute. I need somebody to help me right here. You can look at Christ's encounter and you can see that not only was he a friend to sinners, but we see a prostitute that came to him and got saved. I don't know if we got any prostitutes in here. Don't raise your hand. I'm just saying. But I know this. He cared enough about her to save her. I'm going somewhere with this. Because there's a lot of people that sit in church and they say, well, I ain't good enough. Or you don't know what I've done, preacher. I don't know what you've done. But I tell you, the first two examples of encounters that Christ had that I've given to you this morning, one of them was filled with seven devils. And the other one was a prostitute. Hey, how about this one? There was one that was an adulterous woman. John chapter number 8, thrown at his feet. Said, hey, what you going to do with this? She was caught in the act. I need somebody to help me. Jesus said, if there's anybody around here that's got no sin, you pick up a stone and throw it first. I need somebody to help me. If there's somebody in here without sin, you pick up the stone and throw it first. I'll just go ahead and tell you, we packing around here, though. You better be right with Jesus. How about Zacchaeus, the tax collector? He wasn't no friend to anybody. Matter of fact, ain't nobody liked him. Nobody wanted Zacchaeus around. And he was a wee little man, the Bible says. That's a song. Y'all have to hear it. Climbed a tree just to see Jesus. Man, it's amazing. You go all through the Bible and you'll find a tree all over Jesus. Sure am thankful for that Christmas tree. You can take it, you can look at it, whatever you want to, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm sure thankful that a tree still fixes things. Old Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree. How about the maniac, a Gadaris? How about the fact that the demons that was in him, when they were cast out, took hold of two thousand swine? Anybody that bad? Running around naked, cutting themselves, screaming out. Where they are, some of y'all running around naked. I got to stop. Everybody all right? Cutting themselves. Hollering out, crying out, putting chains, break the chains, living in the tombs where the dead are. Jesus came to where he was at. Man, what a wonderful story. Jesus came to where he was at. Behold the man. He came where he was at just to save him. The Bible says that they all rejected him, told him to get back on the boat and leave. He didn't get to minister anywhere else. No thousands of people get saved. No Billy Graham crusade. One man got saved. One man in a tomb. One man that was naked and crying out. One man that was cutting himself. One man that was full of demons, and he came just for him. One man. Behold the man. That's how much compassion, that's how much love. How about you go on? How about this one? John chapter number 4, he sat on the well with a woman that had five husbands, been divorced five times, and the man that she was living with was not her own. There's churches that won't let somebody in if they've been divorced. There's churches that won't let somebody do anything if they've been divorced. And Jesus used a five-time divorcee and somebody that was living in sin to reach the entire town. Behold the man. Quit listening to what everybody's told you about Jesus. Quit listening to what the church has told you about Jesus. And look at the man this morning. Five times she'd been divorced. I promise you, she didn't have good standings in the community. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when she ran back into town, she told all the men to come out and see. Why didn't she go to the women? Because they were just as judgmental as some of ours. Is everybody all right? Say, you're right. You ain't got no husband. You had five. You've been divorced five times. And the one you're living with ain't even your husband. How about the compassion? Come on now. Did he kick her out? Did he throw her away? How about the woman with the issue of blood? Nasty, filthy, dirty, stunk. Nobody wanted to be around. And the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. The Bible says she just had to get to him. And she touched the hem of his garment, and he stopped the whole process. And he turned around. Come on now. He didn't say, ugh. He didn't say, oh. He healed her. I need somebody to help me this morning. We see the compassion of Christ. He was a compassionate man. We see his encounters. We see his endearing. John chapter number 15 and in verse number 13, the Bible says, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you realize all those encounters, they were just the beginning to what he would do for them eternally? He died for every single one of them. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. It looks real good that he was compassionate, he was kind to him, but he went to the cross for a prostitute. He went to a cross because of a woman that had seven devils. He went to a cross because of a maniac of Gadaris. He went to a cross for a five-time divorcee living in sin. He went to a cross for people that nobody else wanted. He died for us. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we got real honest with God, and we ain't going to do that in here this morning, but if we got real honest with God, we could all stand up and we could tell something about ourselves that nobody else would want anything to do with us. But there's a God that died for you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The Bible shows us through his endearing, he shows us his endeavor. Hebrews chapter number 12 and in verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Listen to that. Listen to it. Read it like it is. Endured the cross. Wasn't no thing that just happened and it was just a flipping stance. It just maybe, it was just this easy little thing that took place. He endured the cross. Despising the shame of being accused of something he did not do, the shame of being accused for sins that you and I are the ones that committed. That cross was ours. That cross was not his. That cross was mine. I need somebody to help me this morning. That cross was yours. And he took it. He that knew no sin became sin. So just so you and I could be called the righteousness of God. Bible says he's despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I tell you something about his endeavor? It is finished. What he did for you and I, no longer do we need anything else done. It is finished. The Bible says he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God as our high priest. You go back in the Old Testament and the high priest never got to sit down. There was no chair in the tabernacle. But once and for all, when this man died for you and I, he sat down on the right hand. Why? Because it is finished. So tell you a little something about this man. Behold this man. Behold the man. His endeavor is finished. Say, preacher, I'm working on getting saved. Preacher, I'm working on my salvation. No, you've missed it. It's finished. Well, preacher, I'm trying to be good. Stop. Stop with that thinking. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do to obtain eternal life. The Bible said, Jesus in the garden said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If there was any other way but him going to the cross, do you not think that God in heaven would have provided that way? And you sit here and think that what you can do and what you're doing is going to get you to heaven? No, friend, it is finished. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and he has sat down on the right hand of the Father. We'd give our children anything if they asked us for it. If it was in our ability to do so, to keep them from dying, we would give them anything. And he cried out to his Father, and he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Don't you think for one minute that the God of creation, the God whom the Bible says all things are possible, do you think for one second that if there was any other way for you and I to be redeemed, if it was any other way than his son to have died, he would have provided that way in the garden before the cross was ever in sight? Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those were the words of Christ. He told us from the beginning that God had planned it out and sent his only begotten Son to die for us. We see the compassion of the man. We see he's a chosen man, a compassionate man. I want you to notice with me, he was a condemned man. I said, "Preacher, I thought you said he didn't do anything wrong." He didn't. He wasn't condemned by God, and he wasn't condemned by man or by the law. He was condemned by man. Sinful man at that. Matter of fact, we see his testimony. You go look at his life, and he never did one thing wrong. Everything that he did, he handled it with grace. I need somebody to help me right here. How many of you, the adulterous woman was brought to your house, would have handled it the same way he did? I don't answer that question. You all self-righteous right now sitting in church, but we know how you'd act. We know exactly how you act. Know how you'd look at her. Know what you'd say behind her. I promise you, you wouldn't even get out of the room before you had the phone open up calling Sarah Lou over at the barbershop telling her about it. How would you handle that prostitute coming to your house, washed his feet? How would you handle, come on, y'all, don't get quiet on me. Can we all say this? You can look at people, you can look back at the Bible and say how wicked they are, but you and I are just as wicked. We can look back on it and we can say, "Oh, I can't believe they done that. Jesus, didn't they see that Jesus loved them?" But yet, Jesus loves everybody and we treat them the same way. That drunk that you don't want nothing to do with, Christ loved him and died for him. That addict that you don't want anything to do with, Christ loved him and died for him. That adulterous woman that you don't want hanging around your husband or in the same room with your husband or anywhere near your family, Christ died for her. Oh, it got quiet right there. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? It got real quiet right there. Because it just dropped in our house now. That person that done us wrong. That person that lied on us. That person that cheated us. You know that Jesus died for them too? Say, I wouldn't have condemned Christ. You condemned everybody else. Why would him be any different? Well, he didn't do nothing wrong. Well, half the time you condemning somebody that you don't know whether they did wrong or not either. I'm having fun this morning. Is everybody having fun? His spotlessness, his miracles. How about this? If it wasn't good enough that Jesus lived a perfect life, how about the fact that he did all the miracles that he done? You would have thought that somebody would have stood back. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all something. If I'm standing in a boat and Jesus comes walking on the water, I'm going ahead and pretty much saying that's God. Amen. After I jump out of the boat and swim to shore. I need somebody to help me. Hey, if I show up with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and I watch him break them apart and feed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, I'm thinking, that's God. Hey, if I'm walking through the middle of a Nain and there's this coffin coming by and he walks up and touches a coffin and the old boy gets out of it and mama goes to rejoicing, I'm thinking, I might be dealing with God. Hey, if I'm hearing about Jairus' daughter that's dead and he goes into the house and comes walking out with her, I'm thinking he's God. Hey, John chapter number 11, when they get to the tomb and it's been 4 days and he's been dead in there, and they open up the tomb and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." Commentator said one time he had to call him by name or everybody would come out. Hey, I need somebody to help me. The Bible says that Lazarus came out bound in his grave clothes. That means he didn't come walking out. "What's up, y'all?" No, they're all standing outside the tomb. Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." He come floating out. I need somebody to help me right here. That's God. That's God. How about the fact this? When all the Roman soldiers come to get him in the garden, they said, he said, "Whom do thou seekest?" And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And the Bible says they fell back on the ground. I don't know about y'all, but that would have been enough for this Roman soldier to say, I'm messing with him. I need somebody to say amen. My sword ain't big enough for that fight. I need somebody to help. All the things he done and still condemned by man. His testimony. He had a testimony of love, and we've already seen that. But his testimony of love in John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. As wicked as the world was, God loved us so much he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I got to move on. His trials, persecuted by the religious, rejected by his own. John chapter number 1, verse number 10 and 11 says, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. Go on to verse number 11, and he came unto his own and his own received him not. The very ones he created, they rejected him. His torment, Matthew chapter number 26, I've already been through this, but in the garden he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. His tragedy, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verses number 3 and 4. The Bible says, for I delivered unto you first all of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. You know what that tells me? He died for my sins. Do you realize this morning that what you're doing wrong, the sins that you and I commit, he had to die for those. We see a conquering man. He's conquered sin. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 26. He's conquered sin. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18, for Christ also has suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We see a conquering man over sin. We see a conquering man over our sentence. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 5, verses 8 through 11 said, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Conquering man over sin, a conquering man over our sentence, a conquering man over the sepulcher. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A conquering man over Satan. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 10. I'm going to go ahead and help y'all out with something that's going to happen in the future. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This morning I want you to see the man. This morning I hope you've seen him like you've never seen him before. I hope you put aside what the church has told you to think about Jesus. I hope you put aside what your own thoughts are about Jesus. I've given you Scripture. Every point that I've given you, I put Scripture with it. I've shown you from the Bible. You can't deny it. You ain't got to like it, but you can't deny it. Behold the man. Heads bowed and eyes closed with me this morning. I'm done. Altars are open. Some of you need to come grab him by the feet. Some of you need to come get a hold of him. Going through a year of pure hell.
going through a year trying to do things on your own, it's time to get back with God this morning. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done in the past year. I'm sure it ain't any worse than what we've already talked about this morning. Won't you come? Altars are open. There's plenty of room. Heads bowed with me. Please don't look around. Thank you, visitors, for being here. We love you. But everybody, if you will, heads bowed and eyes closed with me. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. The Bible tells us that sin came from one man. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That sin came from Adam. Do you realize this morning that you was a sinner before you was born? You was a sinner when you was born. Can't do good. It's impossible. Because you and I have a sin nature in us. You don't have to teach your child how to do good or how to do bad. You have to teach your child how to do good. Why? Because that sin nature lives in them. No matter how innocent, no matter how much you love them. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want you to know this morning, there's a penalty for our sin, and that penalty is death. That penalty of death, it goes far beyond just a grave. That penalty of death is eternal. But the verse doesn't end there. It says, but the wages of sin, or the gift of God, rather, is salvation through Christ. This morning, I want you to know the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 10 that if we confess our sins, if we believe in our hearts, that God will save us. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to do something a little different this morning. If you're sitting here this morning and say, preacher, I'm a sinner. Maybe you're sitting in here this morning and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die this morning. If that's you, you be honest with me. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to know that God loves you and God will save you just as you are. God will take you just as you are. No matter what sin, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God will take you just as you are. I wonder this morning, will you call out on Him? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to know this morning, would you be willing to call out on Him? I wonder this morning, would you be willing, best way you know how, pray something like this, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. God, I cannot save myself. Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Cleanse me of my sin. And save me this morning. Lord, I invite you into my life to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Head still bowed and eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer with me, if you prayed something similar, listen, you ain't got to pray that prayer. It ain't one prayer going to save you. It ain't got to be done just like Brother Robbie did. It ain't got to be done just like I led you. But if you called out on God this morning, you recognize your sin and you asked Jesus to save you this morning, I want you to do me a favor. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's nobody looking around. I want you to raise your hand up. That's all I'm asking you to do. Just raise your hand up. Preacher, I prayed that prayer this morning and asked Jesus to save me. Is there anybody like that? Raise their hand right up. All right, I see it. You can put that hand down. You can put that hand down. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Preacher, I prayed that prayer this morning. Here's my hand as a testimony. I asked Jesus to save me this morning. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? I see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. I want you to do me a favor. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. We're fixing to be done with the church service. I got a little book I'm holding in my hand. It says, now that I'm saved. You go through this book, you find out right now. You take this book home, you go through this book yourself, and it'll help you with questions that you have. Questions like, can I know for sure that I'm saved? Questions like, what's next? Questions like, can I ever lose my salvation? Questions like, should I be baptized? What about prayer? What about church? I want to ask you to do me a favor, if you will. If you prayed that prayer with me this morning and you asked Christ to save you, I want you to come right here and let me pray with you and give you this book. I want you to get up out of your seat. Come on, right here. Let me pray with you. Let me pray with you and give you this book. Ain't God good? Amen. Well, I sure am thankful for the presence of the Lord this morning. I hope and I pray that you felt Him just like I did. From the beginning to the end. Now, I've lost my voice, so somebody else is preaching tonight. I got an outline I'll give them, so if anybody's interested. I sure am thankful for this morning. We're doing things a little different, I know, but we're trying to do something. I want you to know, we have people that get saved all the time, and they go back into these rooms, and when they get out, everybody's gone. What does that say to somebody? The most important day of my life, and I get done and everybody's gone, nobody cares about it. This morning we're trying to do something different. I want them to know how much we are excited about them. Okay. I want them to know that we're excited about what they've done. This is David Kinney. We went and gave him a meal yesterday. He said he needed somebody to pick him up and bring him to church. Bus went by, picked him up this morning, and David got saved. Just so you know. Just so you know, that little bit of time and effort that we put in yesterday has eternal value. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Brother William. Is it Hamby? And William Hamby. He come last week, first time. Come back this week. Praise God, got saved this morning. Hallelujah. Look at there. Somebody's happy about it. I need somebody to say amen. So you don't get to see stuff like this when you run out and go find a piece of chicken. This is Miss Pacey McGee. Miss Pacey, is this your first time visiting with us? Hallelujah. First time visitor this morning. Pray and ask Jesus to come in our hearts, save her this morning. Hallelujah. Family's excited about it. We got one guy assurance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Three people. Eternity. Three people. Life impacted by eternity. Do me a favor. Church service is over. We're getting out of here. Find one of them. Tell them thank you. Find one of them. Tell them how excited you are that they got saved this morning. I love you. Spend some time with your family. Have a good time. Hey, listen. Hey, forgive somebody. Listen. Forgive somebody this week that you've been holding on to. You've been looking for a good time to do it. This week will be a good time to do it. Forgive them. Put your arms around their neck and tell them I love you. And I don't want to risk the opportunity. I don't want to risk the chance of never being able to tell you that again. Tell them you love them this week. Come join us tonight at 6 o'clock. I promise you the service won't be long. We'll let Jake preach. It'll be over in 10 minutes. Join us Wednesday night after Christmas if you're in town. If not, y'all be very careful going out of town and traveling. We love you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.